This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Give God some praise. I forgot she asked me to lead this song today, and I've been running all week, but we're gonna do the best we can. Now y'all can help us if you stand on your feet as we tell the Lord to show us the way. Amen. As I travel here and there, showing the love of Jesus everywhere. I need the Lord to stay by my side, and I want Him to be my guide. Makes no difference what others say or do. Lord, I want to follow You. Lord, I want You. Here and there, showing the love of Jesus everywhere. I need the Lord to stay by my side, and I want Him to be my guide. Makes no difference what others say or do. Lord, I want to follow You. Lord, I want You.
Show me the way, Lord.
I'll talk like You want me to. give our choir a hand as they come down. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. I will bless him at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. We bless God on today. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that as we stand, God, in your spirit, we thank you for the word, God, and we pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, a word that will remind us that you are God. You are the great I am, that it is in you that we live and move and have our being. We thank you, and we give you praise. And now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I did it again, didn't I? Hallelujah. Bless his name. Hey, ha, ha, ha. Come on, let's stand on our feet.
Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other here I know. Oh, if thou withdraw thyself from thee, oh, where the dead I go.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Now, y'all know that whenever I get up here and give the benediction, amen, I've been rolling, thank God. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 9, and there you will find these words. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Now, I was reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, if there was some difference there. Amen. But I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from this subject, Do you know who he is? Do you know who he is? God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. A story is told of a young boy, thank you, ushers, who was sick on Palm Sunday and unable to go to church. His mother stayed home with him and his father went to church. When his father came home, he brought with him a few of the palm branches he received at church on that Palm Sunday. He went into his son's room to see how he was doing after he got home, and his son asked him, "Dad, what is that you have in your hand?" The father replied, "I have palm branches." The little boy said, "What are they for?" The father said, "These were waved when Jesus came to town." The boy became sad and began to cry, and his father said, "What's wrong?" And the boy said, "The very day Jesus comes to town, I miss him because I'm sick." This problem, though presented in a humorous way, is the same today. We miss Jesus because we are ill prepared to receive him. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" I don't know which is more disturbing, the question, "Who is this?" or the answer. And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." How is it possible that the multitude answered the question with the wrong answer? "Who is this?" And the multitude answered, "Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Now, you need to understand that prophets in the mind of the ancients were generally recognized as inspired deliverers of God's message. In this sense, Jesus was simply seen as one of the other divinely inspired messengers the people had seen before. You remember the story on the Mount of Transfiguration in the Gospels. Jesus, along with Peter, James, and John, were there when Moses and Elijah seemed to appear, talking to Jesus. The images were so powerful that they wanted to build three tabernacles there and worship the images together. They concluded that it was so good, amen, that they never wanted to leave that place. Do you know who he is? The problem we face, my brothers and sisters, if we reduce our understanding of Jesus to simply that of a prophet, is that we conclude that he is only a communicator of wise and useful sayings. If we think that our understanding of who he is misdirected. A misdirected understanding will focus upon the word as words and not the word as the living God. How many of you know that he is the living God? Jesus is the word that was with God and that was God. Jesus is the word made flesh that dwelt among us. Jesus is the word that becomes a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Jesus is the word of God that shall stand forever. Jesus is the word that if it dwells in you, you can't help but be changed. It may not happen overnight. It may not happen next year or 5 years from now. But is there anybody here who understands that if the word of God is alive in your heart and in your spirit, change will come? You ought to give him praise today. The other problem we face is if we reduce our understanding of Jesus to simply that of a prophet. You see, the Muslims, that's what they say about Jesus. He was just another prophet. And so we've got to understand who he is in the entirety of who God the Father says he is. If we reduce him to that of just a prophet, then he becomes misunderstood. You see it in the text and in some of the songs we sing. The text says, and I know sometimes we read it and we shout on what it says, but it really is inaccurate what they were saying. Look at what the crowd was saying. They say, "Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord." He doesn't come in the name of the Lord. He is the Lord. Do I have a witness today? We know he's the Lord because Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus is fully man and fully God. Jesus is more than a prophet. The Bible says he's the light of the world. He is the savior of mankind. Jesus is the bright and morning star. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I've come by just to ask you, do you know who he is? You've got to be careful that you're not misdirected in your misunderstanding or that you cause the true Jesus to be misunderstood. Do you know who he is? We must be careful that our faith is not misplaced. You see, you will find the multitude displaying a misplaced faith. We know it because later when they're given the choice between Barabbas and Jesus, the Bible says the multitude chooses Barabbas and rejects Jesus because their faith was misplaced. How do we know when our faith is misplaced? We know that our faith is misplaced when we put things before God. We know that our faith is misplaced when we put the fishing pond before church. We know that our faith is misplaced when we don't mind giving our money everywhere else but to the church of God. We know that our faith is misplaced when trouble comes and we call our friends, we call our family, we call psychiatrists and all kinds of folk. Our faith is misplaced if we don't start with Jesus. Is there anybody here who knows that the Bible is right? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What things, Pastor? Healing for your body, money in your bank account, clothes for your wardrobe. If you seek him first, he will make a way. You've got to make sure that your faith is not misplaced. It really is not difficult to understand why the multitude's understanding is misdirected or their understanding of Jesus is misunderstood or that their faith is misplaced. It's really not hard to understand. You see, Jesus himself recognized this when he asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" The Bible says they responded with what was the popular opinion of the time. Is there anybody here who knows that the popular opinion can mess you up? Amen. Come on, where are my folk who know that if you had to depend upon the popular opinion of what folk thought about you, amen, you would be in trouble. Is there anybody here who's glad that what folks think about you and what folks say about you does not define who you really are? That's the point Jesus proves here. He asked him, he says, who do men say that I am? They responded, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Still others say you're Jeremiah. They were all prominent prophets in their memory, but Jesus focuses the question and asks, now, who do you say that I am? And as bad a boy as Peter was, as bad as a cusser as he could be, amen, Peter stood up flat-footed and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. As we celebrate who he is on this Palm Sunday, the question each of you must answer deep within your hearts is, do you know who he is? Who is this Jesus who cries over Jerusalem, the city of David? Who is this Jesus that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this Jesus who can command so much respect that a donkey and a colt owner will permit him to borrow both his animals by simply hearing the words, the Lord has need of them? Who is this Jesus with the Nielsen rating so high that CNN, Fox, and MSNBC would all be jealous? Who comes to town with his own version of a ticker tape parade down the main boulevard with people standing on each side, spreading their garments, waving palm branches, and singing Hosanna in the highest? Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus who moves to the center of the human experience with the power that is not diminished by time? Who is this Jesus with the compassion in his heart to extend hospitality everywhere he goes? But while standing before Caiaphas and being judged, does not mumble a word. Who is this Jesus that witnesses deceit in the temple's outer court, turns over the tables of the money changers and drives them out? He does this to restore the temple to its true function as a house of prayer and a place where God is known. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, who is this Jesus? That's the question, my brothers and sisters, that each of us must face on this Sunday. Was he wounded for your transgressions? Was he bruised for your iniquities? Who is this Jesus to you? I wish I could answer that question for you, but I can't. But guess what? Amen. Only you can answer that question. And you can only honestly answer it if you have forgiveness in your heart. Why do you say that, Pastor? I say it because 1 John 4:20 says that if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Who is this Jesus? I wish I could answer that question for you this morning, but I cannot. But I can answer it for myself. Jesus is the one that when I was down, he picked me up. Jesus is the one that when I was lost, he came and found me. Jesus is the one that when I needed an advocate, he was there. He's the one that when I was sick, he was a healer. Now, if you can identify with what he is to me, you ought to get on your feet and tell him thank you. He's the one that when I was friendless, he stuck closer to me than a brother. Jesus is the one that when I was lonely, he was my comforter. Jesus is the one that when I confessed his name and allowed him to enter into my heart,